Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Dina Rabinovich, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Mem Tet. Benjamin Franklin famously said that the only two things that are certain in life are death and taxes. In a sense, he is echoing Mizmor Mem Tet. Mizmor Mem Tet is typically recited in a Beit Avel, in a house where people are sitting Shiva, once after Tefillat Shacharit, and again in the evening after Tefillat Ma'ariv. The ideas and concepts that permeate the Mizmor are those that resonate with those sitting Shiva and the people who have come to offer them comfort. The theme of this Mizmor appears to be about death and what we have worked for and achieved in this life. In the words of the Malbim, many waste their lives in this world, and he notes that this mizmor is musar to those who rely on their wealth, and they work their bodies and their land, and in the process of this work, they lose their souls and their neshama. Such people show their foolishness because they swap the current world for something that will be lost in the future. The ruchani, the spiritual, for the gashmi, the physical, the trivial for what is really important, and in so doing, in this swap, they resemble animals. In other words, they are concerned with what they have in front of them and don't think about how to plan for the future. Rav Hirsch looks at this mizmor in a more positive light with constructive learning for what we can do with our physical and material resources in order to gain a life in the world to come. The theme of this mizmor, says Rav Hirsch, is the relationship of man's material possessions to his moral and spiritual task in life. It is only by fulfilling this task during his stay on earth and by employing all of his physical and material resources as a means to this end that man can rescue his spiritual existence so that it will reach beyond the fleeting span on earth and enter into immortality when his body dies. In other words, take what we have in this world and use it in order to create a world for us in the life to come. To whom is this mizmor directed? To Kol Yeshvei Chaled and Kol Ha'amim, to the Bnei Adam uvnei Ish Ashir ve'Evyon. Okay, so who are these people? What do these terms mean? Kol Yeshvei Chaled, according to Rashi, Bnei Israel, and Kol Ha'amim, the rest of the world. Radak, in a pithier comment, says, really, we have the gamut, everyone. Everyone and anyone who wants to hear good advice, that's to whom B'nai Korach are speaking. What about the B'nai Adam uv'nai Ish Ashir ve'Evyon? To start with Rashi, B'nai Adam are the children of Avraham, who is called the greatest man among giants, and B'nai Ish are the descendants of Noah, who was an Ish Tzaddik. Again, we've got pretty much the entire world. Ibn Ezra feels that B'nai Adam refers to people of low status, whereas B'nai Ish refer to people of high status. Again, we're getting everybody from every nation, from every walk of life. The Ashir ve'Evyon, the rich and the poor, can literally refer to those who are rich and those who are poor, or metaphorically to those who are rich in Torah knowledge or poor in Torah knowledge. The first time we would have somebody specific being listed as B'nai Israel. The Mizmor, however, seems to have a very universal appeal and can really have words for everybody to listen to and take to heart. What category would this Mizmor be? Well, it seems to clearly fall under the words of wisdom category, and this is evident in Pasuk Dalet. Pi yedaber chochmot vahagut libi tfunot. My mouth will speak words of wisdom, my heart's utterance and understanding. Where chochma refers to wisdom, and tfuna, understanding. What sort of tune would accompany this mizmor? Well, we don't have a specific instrument mentioned in the beginning of the mizmor, like we have in so many of the mizmorei Korach, but we do have mention of a kinor in Pasuk Dalet. Atele mashal ozni, eftach v'chinor chidati. I listen with care to a parable. I expound my theme to the music of the harp. Anyone out there have listened to the music of a harp? And perhaps, if so, the words of the Shaddal will make sense and have meaning to you. The Shaddal says as follows. The Mishorer is saying, I want to play the kinor in order to envelop my heart with the music. The tune will not be one of simcha and sason, of happiness. It will not be one of kina and hesped, of mourning and lament. It will not be one of tehillah and torah, of prayer and praise. It will be a tune worthy of wisdom and parables and riddles. I will listen, he says, to the didactic music and will then begin to speak. In other words, the music will lead to introspection and knowledge and understanding. What is the main message, then, of this mizmor? We see it in a pair of psukim that serve as a refrain, one at the halfway point and one at the end, almost identical in wording. The first, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'adam bikar bal yalin nimshal k'behemot nidmu. But a person, despite his wealth, cannot linger, will not last the night. He is like beasts that perish. A person, says Rav Hirsch, who spent his life in unmitigated egotism, will never be rewarded by continued life after death, either in this world or in the world to come. Ironically, the more you want to be remembered, the less you will be. He will not bal yalin, not outlast the night. The second pasuk at the end of the mizmor changes one word and one letter. The bal yalin, cannot linger, cannot last the night, becomes lo yavin, cannot attain insight. And the pasuk reads as follows, pasuk chav aleph, adam bikar velo yavin, nimshal kabehemot nidmu. A person with wealth, but without insight, is like beasts that perish. Men who chase honor to the exclusion of everything else. Men, people, who want to be remembered for what they have achieved and earned and the material possessions they have amassed. These men, these people, are like animals who are here today and gone tomorrow. Of all the psukim in this mizmor, the one or the two that speak to me the most is the ones that I'm most familiar with, pasuk yudzayin and yudchet, the one I sang countless nights sitting around the bonfire late at night to a tune, well, maybe not quite of the kinor, but certainly that lament and plaintive feel in the tune composed by Yerachmiel Bigun. Pasuk yudzayin, al tira ki asher ish ki yerbe kevod beito. Fear not when people grow rich, when their houses rise in esteem. Ki lov bemoto yikach hakol, lo yered acharav kivodo. After death, all of this honor will not go with him. The words of advice seem to be offered in two directions. There are two different types of people being addressed, one directly and one indirectly. Indirectly, to the man who is rich, to the person who is rich, who has lots of wealth and honor. And directly, the man, the woman, the person who stands by the side and sees the wealth and wonders what is going on. It is the bystander who seems to be the subject of Pasuk Yudzayin. Al tira ki yashir ish. Fear not when people grow rich. Ki yerbe kevod beito. When all of their house increases in value and all that they have grows and grows. Pasuk Yudchet, ki lo v'moto yikach hakol. They will take nothing with them in their death after they die. Lo yered acharav kivodo, the honor and esteem in all that they've earned, all the material possessions, all of their status in society, none of that will come with them afterwards. None of them will be worth anything. So what should we focus on? Where should we concentrate our efforts? What can we learn to plan for a more productive life in this world and certainly in the world to come? Perhaps we should do like Rav Eitam Henkin, the beloved son of Rav Yehuda and Rabbanit Chana Henkin, who was murdered in October 2015 when driving home with his wife Nama. Both of them were killed. Rabbanit Henkin tells the following about her son. We went to Neria, the yeshuv where my son Eitam and his wife Nama lived, in order to conclude the shiva in their house. My son's computer was still open on the table as he had left it. And on the table near the computer, my daughter found a list of objectives, of goals that he had set himself for the week to come. It was a long list that had many sections and parts to it. And it included, among them, working on his doctorate, he was a student at Tel Aviv University, learning Torah and delivering shiurim. There were goals for writing and for editing. There were goals of spending time with his family. There were also aspirations. And next to each item on the list were one of the following words, chova, obligation, she'ifa, a desire, hitnadvut, the voluntary, and tova, something that is good. something that is obligatory, a desire, volunteering, and something good. Rabbanit Hinken continues, sometimes we go with a flow during life without any calculated decision about how to spend our time. From the list and its annotations, we saw how our son and his wife had decided to spend their short time together, what to spend time on, what not to spend time on, what to focus, what they didn't need to focus and worry about, what the correct balance, how to make do. During the week of Shiva, many people told us about the hours of help they had received from Eitam and Nama, hours given without asking for anything in return. From Eitam's list, we see how they accomplished so much, how they found time for so many acts of chesed, of tova, alongside all the obligation. What stays with us after death? What a man has achieved. The honor, not that he is bought, but the honor he has earned. They became a light for others, and their soul lives on. Or, as B'nai Korach say, Shimu zot kol ha'amim, listen, all of you people, ha'azinu kol yoshvei chaled, listen, all dwellers of the world. All of us should listen carefully, lishmoa, to the last mizmor of B'nai Korach in this section of Sefer Bet of Tehillim. All of us should pay attention, la'azin, to listen even if we're not able to actually listen so carefully. B'nai Korach learned the hard way that chasing after riches and honor doesn't leave you with anything after you die. They counsel us to learn from what happened to their father, from what almost happened to them. They counsel us to learn what really matters and to make time in our day for all that is really meaningful in this world, to pay attention to what is chova, an obligation, she'ifa, something we want to do, hitnadvut, the time we spend volunteering, and tova, the chesed, the good. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara Bat Chaim.